As we wrestle with the words of Scripture, may our hearts and minds be open to your word, dear God, and may we receive your blessing with humble gratitude. Today is the Sunday which celebrates those of us who do not match a picture of submissive sainthood. It's awkward, Believer Sunday. Indeed, the reading from Genesis that we just heard provides a refreshing correction to the mistaken idea that faith is the same as passive acceptance. With Jacob, we see faith defined as a stubborn refusal to let God off the hook. We see one of the three most important patriarchs of the Old Testament wrestling with God an entire night, not letting go, and then prevailing. Imagine that extraordinary scene, the grappling, the straining, the heavy breathing, the sweating. This is no ethereal angelic vision. This is brute force, raw confrontation. But is it really with God that Jacob wrestles? Although the text says a man, Jacob himself doesn't have any doubt as the fact that he perceives his opponent as someone capable of blessing him is a strongest indication that he is no ordinary wrestling partner. Is it an angel then, as many artists and commentators have thought? Maybe. But then angels are messengers of God. And when day breaks, Jacob says that he has seen the face of God and names the place Peniel, the Hebrew for face of God. So let's stick with Jacob's conviction and take it as read that his opponent is indeed God, which makes the scene one of the most enigmatic in the whole Bible. It's even more enigmatic than the other famous scene which involves Jacob. I'm referring, of course, to his dream about a ladder whose top reached heaven with angel ascending and descending. We all know it. But there, God is standing beside Jacob and renews his promise of land, progeny, and protection. In contrast, in today's passage, God is the attacker, and the attack takes place when Jacob is alone. As his huge retinue of four wives, because he has four, not two, he forgot to say the two servants, his numerous children, all his slaves and servants are gone across the river, having taken with them even his animals. So, he is truly and utterly alone. But this time, he's fully awake and in the middle of nowhere in the wilderness. All these elements together draw a picture of uncertainty and fear, a moment when Jacob is most exposed, vulnerable, and terrified at what is coming, which is the crucial meeting recounted in the following chapter, between him and his brother Esau after a 22 years estrangement. This is a meeting that Jacob has every reason to fear, as his past is going to catch up with him. And faced with Esau's most likely revenge, Jacob finds himself at a turning point. He can face up to what awaits him, or he can do what he has done many times in the past, turn around and run. That encounter will therefore offer Jacob an opportunity to change. But will he take it? Well, there is a clue in the fact that the encounter with God happens at night and concludes at daybreak. In biblical narratives, as well as in many ancient stories, That generally signals an epic conflict and a transforming event, as we will see in a minute. But let's first remind ourselves of the way Jacob has been portrayed in the previous chapters of Genesis. He has conned, cheated, deceived, and manipulated almost every significant member of his family. His brother, Esau, his father, Isaac, and his uncle, Laban. And then has run off when the tension was about to explode into full conflict. And yet, he seems to get away with such extremely bad behavior. So we are entitled to ask, how can such a trickster deserve God's enormous favor? Well, in spite of everything, Jacob is faithful, full of faith. And it is in today's episode that he becomes a role model for all of us. Not of moral perfection, far from it, but as the one who did not let go of God in the midst of great difficulty and affliction, and was changed by it. What we see today is that whatever the reason for the attack, Jacob's response is to stand his ground and face his attacker instead of cunning evasion, as he has done so often in the past. He fights openly and persistently to get what he most wants, a blessing. Jacob chooses to cling to God and refuses to disengage. In that scene, Jacob shows us how faith should be understood as faithfulness, as the decision to hang on, to keep on and not give up, no matter how painful the whole hanging on is, no matter how painful the wrestling is. And boy, can it be painful. We all know that. And by doing this, Jacob shows us something else, extremely important. That it is perfectly okay to wrestle with God. We can be angry at God. We can tell God we do not understand how the world works. We can tell God that we have had enough of all these difficulties. We can tell him that it would be really nice to get some direct help sometimes. Thank you very much. We can be bold, and we can remind God, like Jacob does in his prayer before the passage we heard today, that it is time to deliver on his promises, because a covenant, a contract, means being partners. And we do believe that he's a God of his word in that covenant. You see, God is always available to wrestle with us, at whatever level we are capable of wrestling. Our God is a God who wants to engage with us. A God we can wrestle with the whole weight of our thoughts, our questions, and our feelings. Wrestling, as it turns out, is not a bad or even a scary thing at all, because it's the opposite of apathy and the opposite of resignation. Our God is not looking for wimpy followers. He rewards those who fight to get the heavenly blessing. He delights in those who dare to strive with him, and he blesses them. This is what we see in today's passage of Genesis. But we can see it in many Psalms and, of course, in the book of Job. But wrestling with God is not to be taken lightly. Because even if we prevail, like Jacob, it's never without serious consequences. It has a high cost, but it changes us for the better. When day breaks and the wrestling is over, Jacob has undergone two changes. He has a new name, Israel, and he has a new injury, which makes him limp. And then these two changes will lead to a third one. Instead of the expected deadly confrontation with his brother Esau, there will be a spectacular reconciliation. So let's have a look at these changes. First, Jacob's new injury. Well, change is rarely without effort and sacrifice. We cannot wrestle with God. We cannot go through the many crises of life unscathed. We survive, yes, but we carry the scars of our struggles. Every disappointment, every betrayal, every failed relationship, every serious diagnosis, every death of someone we love leaves its mark. And just like Jacob, we wrestle alone. We can share our burdens and fears with each other, yes, and many of us do. But ultimately, the burden of the struggle and the suffering is ours, and ours only. We cannot defeat grief or heartbreak. They will leave a mark, a limp, a scar. But as Jonathan Sacks remarks in one of his books on Genesis, these are honorable scars, he calls them. Scars we can be proud of because they are symbolic of our resilience and our perseverance. Like Jacob, in spite of such serious injuries and great pain, we do not give up. We persevere with God. The second big change in Jacob's life is that he's given a new name. We usually don't realize how important this is, because in the ancient world, names were never simply just names. Rather, they were descriptions of the person's character. Jacob's name, which literally means heel, because he grasped his twin brother's heel when they were born, and kept grasping everything he could since then, was actually his identity. A trickster, a grabber, a usurper. Now he has a new name, Israel, which means the one who perseveres with God, the one who never gives up. This is his new identity, the one who shows great faithfulness. But that new identity could only be revealed when fear stripped him of all pretense and when all he had to hold on to was God. But for the rest of his life, Jacob limped as proof of the high cost of holding on to God. This new change, this new name, this new identity has another major consequence for Jacob. It is the changed way he deals with his brother. This is demonstrated during the dreaded reunion with Esau, described in the following chapter, which, by the way, should never be separated from Jacob's wrestling, as it is a direct consequence of it. When Esau approaches with an army of 400 men, Jacob bows down. Now, as Jonathan Sacks remarks, this is really surprising. A man who has wrestled with God and prevailed surely does not need to bow down to anyone. He knows he can survive anything. So why does he do it? The answer lies, according to Jonathan Sacks, in what he says to Esau. Accept this gift, because seeing your face is like seeing the face of God. Now that you have received me favorably, please accept my blessing, for God has been gracious to me. What Jacob is doing here is returning to Esau the blessing he stole from him 22 years ago, and that blessing was not his. So now that he has received the blessing of God, He doesn't need to try and take what is not his, be it Esau's birthright or his father's blessing destined to Esau. The blessing of God means that Jacob has understood, finally, that God will be always with him and will always love him for who he is. When God alters our understanding of who we are, this is a new opportunity to alter our relationship with others. We may allow love to flow through us. When we become convinced that God loves us for who we are, warts and all, and when we become conscious of our vulnerability in our wrestling, the opportunity is offered to us to perceive other people differently and relate to them differently. But as I just said, it is an opportunity. We still have to do the wrestling. And as we saw earlier, it's very painful. But as we see with Jacob, pain, hardship, and trials in life can either shut us down and make us smaller, or it can break us open and make us more loving and more compassionate. We just have to hold on and to persevere. It's not easy. Perseverance, tenacity, and endurance are admirable virtues, but generally in short supply in our lives, and we often give up. This is why Jacob's wrestling with God is such a role model for us and a story we should treasure. Because like Jacob, we need to hold on tenaciously to God, boldly expecting God's blessing and trusting in God's promise, even in the midst of our struggle. Amen.